Okay, so let's get started. We are holding on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. So we moved yesterday, we started talking about the Malacha of Boina and related Malachas, all of us told us of it, and we had a Machlokas between Rab and Shmuel about three different things. Good morning, Avraham Moshe. Whether they're boina or whether they're makom patish. We had number one where a person quarries a stone or shapes it or makes designs on it or whatever. Number two, where he makes a hole in a chicken coop, which is meant for ventilation to get out the stale air and get in fresh air. And the third is where he puts a peg into the handle of a shovel to make the handle actually stay in place. So we said that the Rav and Shmuel argue about all those three things, whether those are toldos of Boina or of Machlokatish. And we said one way of understanding their Machlokas is actually on the basic question of whether there is such a thing as Binyan and Sphira in Kalim. Do we say that Binyan applies only to buildings or does it apply to Kalim as well? It was one way of looking at it in Moni Yaakov. Another way was to understand that Tosfos discusses over here, they both agree that if you're making a whole new keli, then it would be considered binyan. And the question is over here, you're not making a whole new keli, you're adding something to an existing one. You already have the chicken coop, for example, and you're adding a hole to it. You already have the shovel, and you're adding a peg to it, etc.
If it's
yes, so we discussed here. Well, first of all, obviously, we talked at the end yesterday. First of all, obviously, a nasty minute would be if a person does it amazing. What hasra do you give him? But besides that, also, we talked about that if we say that binyan and stira applies in this case to kalim as well, then it would mean that if the person breaks the kalim, then if the person, let's say, takes out the peg, then he's doing the malacha of soiser. As opposed to if you say it's makom patish, then you would say there's no opposite number of makom patish to be mechayim for. That would be makalkal. That would be damaging. And we're going to learn in the next parak that if you do something in a way that's damaging, where you're not doing it for a constructive purpose, then you're potter. We talked about also who is the halacha like. Usually in a machlokas in Hilchos Shabbos or in general in Hilchos Eser Heter, usually the halacha is like Rav. Is that the case over here? Or do we say not necessarily because good morning I live, maybe not necessarily over here because we're going to have now Rabbi Yochanan who holds like Shmuel and says that's Makom Patish, and we know when you have the Rav versus Rabbi Yochanan, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. So you have Machlokas Rishonim, which one of them the halacha is like over here. So in Shulchan Aruch, it passed in like the opinion that there is binyan or stira b'kelim. There is binyan or stira b'kelim, but again, only as Tosfos is saying, if you're making a whole new keli or something. Not if, let's say, you had a keli, which let's say an example it gives in Shulchan Aruch over there is, let's say, you had a barrel that previously broke apart, you stuck the pieces together, and now you're gonna break off a piece, and now you're gonna add a piece or whatever. Then you wouldn't say binyan and stira by that. Which again, as we talked about at the end yesterday, is relevant as far as packages, as far as opening packages of food and other such things on Shabbos. All right, so let's go on with the Gemara. Bomnei Rav Nosson Bar Oshia Mei Rav Yochanan. So Rav Nosson Bar Oshia asked Rav Yochanan, "Misan what?" So we're holding at the bottom of Kuf Beis, and we're holding Kuf Beis on the Beis, four lines from the bottom. By the way, if anybody wants to unmute themselves to ask a question, then by all means do that. I see that right now everybody's muted. On what grounds is Mesates Chayev? If a person does this thing of shaping a stone, dressing it, making designs in it, whatever, on what grounds is he Chayev? So Rabbi Yechanan showed him with his hand, like Makom Patish, like he made a banging motion with his hand to symbolize that it was Makom Patish. Why did he say it? Maybe it was at a place in davening where he couldn't talk. Whatever it is, anyway, he signaled to him that's makom patish. So the question is, our Mishnah had mentioned that two different things, masatis, where a person dresses a stone, and makom patish, where he does. So there are two different malachas. not two different malachas, so but a tulda of a different malacha than makor matish. The answer is ema. What Rabbi Yochanan says, what the Mishnah means is hamasatis hamakor matish. A person who does masatis, on what grounds is he chayev? On the grounds of makor matish. Okay, tashma. Let's bring a proof from another braisa. Hakodeach kol shehu chayev. A braisa says if a person drills even a small little hole, then he's chayev. Now Rashi points out the difference between now kodeach implies that you're making a hole in order to stick something into it, like in order to stick a nail into it. If you're making a hole for the sake of having a hole there, like we had yesterday about the hole in the chicken coop, that's not called kodeach. The word for that is called noikev, that you're making a hole. So kodeach implies that you're making a hole that's meant to be filled, and we're saying that you're chayev. So b'shleim of the Rav. So I can understand according to Rav, who says that when you're making a hole in a chicken coop, for example, it counts as boina. So the same thing over here. Merci, commander, chos alabinyana. So it looks like, and actually it doesn't really look like, it is, that he's building a building, that he's making a hole, which can be useful for the building. It's vinyan kolshu, and he's making that now he has a place to hang, that now he has a place to hang a nail. Tosfos says it's one thing. So when it comes to the hole in the chicken coop, there Rav is going to be mechayev him, even though the chicken coop is a keli, on the grounds that hole is meant for things to go in and out. It's meant for fresh air to come in and stale air to come out. But over here, okay, it's not meant for things to come in and out, but it would still be boina. It would still be boina, and therefore you can be mechayev him. El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, who says that in and of itself is not binyan, Lavma Malacha, who says, how can you call it Makor Patish? By the chicken coop, okay, it's Makor Patish because that's exactly what you're doing. You're finishing up the chicken coop. You're now making it that the chickens will be able to live in there comfortably. But when you make a hole in a wall and you yet have, you're going to be in the future putting a nail or something into it, so you haven't yet finished the Malacha, so how can we call it Makor Patish? The answer is Hoch of Mayaskin, and Shmuel would say, you know what the Braise is talking about? De Baze the Ramza de Pazla. Suppose that he made the hole with an iron nail. So in other words, he didn't first drill a hole and then use and then knock the nail into it. He used the nail to begin with to create the hole. Bashavki Bagabe, and then he leaves the nail right there in the hole. Dahain of Mamalacha. So now he's accomplished Mamalacha, so that would be Makor Patish. But yeah, Shmuel would say that otherwise, if he first drills the hole and later on puts a nail into it, then Shmuel wouldn't call it, then Shmuel would say not necessarily is he chayev for that, because the drilling itself wouldn't count as boner, and only later on when he puts in the nail would it be Makor Patish. We said in the Mishnah Zeachlal, the general rule is that if a person does malacha and his malacha continues to last, then he's chayev on Shabbos. So we said two different explanations. We said Rashi says it means that as long as what he did is something that some people will keep it as is rather than adding to it, then that's, or at least it's a stage of the work where people will say, okay, I've done enough for the day. I'll do more another time. That would be enough to be mechayev him. And the Rishpah said also what it means is even if the work is something that will only last on Shabbos and it's going to fall apart after Shabbos, the fact that it lasts throughout Shabbos is enough to mechayev him. So that's the Mishnah said Zeachlal. We know when the Mishnah says Zeachlal, it's meant to add something. So Zeachlal lasuya mai. So what does it come to add? The answer is lasuya dechok kapiza bekava. Suppose a person takes a large piece of wood, which would be big enough to make a container, the size of a kav, and instead he hollows out in a space big enough to fit a kapiza. A kapiza is 3/4 of a kav, 3 logim. A kav is 4 logim. A kav is 4 logim. So even though it's not completed yet, because most people would say, you know what, I have a larger block of wood, I might as well make a kav measuring cup out of it. But the fact is, some people will keep it that way. Some people will just say, you know what, all I need right now is a kapiza, this is good enough. So therefore, that's enough to be mechayim as well. Rabbi Hanan has a bit of a different explanation of it. A kav is 4 logim. A kapiza is 3 logim.
A big vessel.
Yeah. So people need a kav for various purposes around their house, and people also need a kapiza. So like this, yeah. Rabbi Hanan gives a bit of a different explanation of it. He says that if you have a kav measuring, you make markings on the side of it, like you have on measuring cups, for example, to show up and show here. But yeah, to grade it up till he was a half, up till he was three quarters or whatever. So the same thing, that's enough to be mechayev him for makar b'patish, because now he's making the keli more usable. Because before it was usable only to measure a cab, and now we can use it to measure a three quarters of a cab, a kapiza as well. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Hamaka Bakuna Salasadin. Although we said that Rav Shimon Gamliel says if a person bangs with the hammer on the anvil while he's doing the malacha, then he's also chayiv makom patish. So the question is, my covid, what exactly is he accomplishing by doing that? What kind of malacha would that be? So Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both say what he's doing is he's getting his hand used to doing this kind of work. He's a magilam amachavnam, Rashi says. He's getting his hand used to doing the kind of work that when he has metal to work with, he'll know exactly how to bang on it. So you have to bang with some toyach. So like this, it's practice, basically. However, the sons of Rachva had a problem with that. The sons of Rachva, their names are Eifa and Avimi, and they're called, the Gemara calls them Charifi de Pumbedisa. They were the short Tamar Chacham de Pumbedisa. Anyway, so they ask, Elameata, by that law, why should a person be chayev? Just because he's practicing. Elameata, Chaza Umanta B'Shabsa, suppose a person is walking on Shabbos and he sees, let's say, a goyish smith doing his work, and he watches it with Gomar, and he learns from that how to do the work. Hachinami de b'chayev, and he says chayev. Okay, maybe he's also to do it. So he's not allowed to be thinking about this kind of thing on Shabbos. You can't say he did a malacha that he should be chayev for. So he also, why should he be chayev because he's practicing with banging the hammer? Ela Abaya the Rabbah Dami Chavaya. So rather, Abaya and Rabbah give a different reason. Shekin Miravde Tase Mishkan Oisin Kane. Because the ones who worked on beating out sheets of metal in the Mishkan would do that. Rashi gives an example. They used sheets of metal to plate the crushim. We learned in the previous parak about the crushim of the Mishkan and how they were laid out on the wagons and how they were shaped, etc. Each one of them was plated with gold. So that means the gold had to be beaten out into thin sheets. You have other examples, the clothes of the Kohenim, they beat out the metal into thin sheets, and then they cut it into thin strips to have gold threads that were woven into the threads for the tefillah, into the threads for the ephod and choshen and so forth. The point is though, when you're
all the crushing had gold around
them. All the crushing had gold around them, right.
And then the silver was the adon.
The silver was the adonim. And then when it comes to the poles of the chotzer, then it was that went down one level. The crushim of the chotzer had bands of silver around them. Not the whole thing was plated with silver, and had silver caps on the top. And then they had copper. If they had copper adonim.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is that, so you have sheets of metal had to be beaten out. And the point is, Rashi describes that if you keep on banging on the metal and you don't bang on the anvil every so often, what happens is the head of the hammer ends up getting bumpy, it ends up getting dented or whatever, and therefore when you keep on banging on the metal, eventually you're gonna bang a hole through it. So therefore every so often you have to move the work aside and bang on the anvil itself to get the head of the hammer back into shape. Rashi describes that I've seen people in my area who mint coins do that. Same idea. In those days, they made coins by taking a metal blank and putting it on an anvil and then taking a hammer and taking a punch that has the design and punching it into the metal. So every so often, you have to do the same kind of thing to avoid so you don't break the punch. So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel is considering that a malacha. There are, by the way, Rishonim who take out the Ella over here and say that actually what Bnei Rachva asked
the punch on.
Well, they have the coin blank on top of that is a punch, and on top of that, and then they have a hammer which bangs onto the two of them and impresses the
So these. They take the punch and they put it back to the place where it's going to be re.
So every time they bang on the hammer itself on the anvil, they move the coin blank on the punch aside in order that the hammer gets back into shape.
I thought they would be taking the punch and putting it onto the...
Yeah, maybe. Okay, whatever. Rashi just says, Bala Mechver, came in a Reisi Oisin Kane. I saw people who make coins in my area do that. Okay, so Rashi doesn't go into the exact steps of it. But the point is, okay, there are Rishonim who take out the word Ella, and they say it's not actually this that Bnei Rachva are asking, that by this logic, if you see an Uman and you learn on Shabbos and you learn it, etc., the answer is because here you're not just learning. If you were just watching the guy, sure, that's not a malacha. But here you're actually practicing as Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say, so therefore Abaye and Rava are explaining that it's not just the fact that you're practicing, it's also the fact that when you're actually practicing, you're actually doing something that is part of the malacha, and the Radad de Tase Mishkan also do that. They have to get themselves into the swing of things and know how to wield the hammer and so forth. And therefore that is part of the malacha, according to Shimon O'Neill. Again, the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, of course, you're not allowed to do it, but they're not going to count it as the separate malacha of Makom Patish. At the end, maybe fine. At the end, when you're done with the work and you need to get the hammer back into shape for the next work, they will agree that it's Makom Patish to bang it on there. Okay, Tanya Nami Hochi, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Afa Maka Bakunas Alasabin Bashas Malacha Chayiv. Also, somebody who bangs on with the hammer on the anvil during the Malacha is Chayiv. Same thing, Shekin Mirad Vetase Mishkan Oisim Kain, because the people who beat out sheets of gold for the Mishkan, for sheets of gold or silver for the Mishkan, do exactly that. Okay. Next Mishnah. Now that we talked about Boina, we're going to talk about Chodesh. Now, more or less, again, as we said before, we're supposed to be going through the Malachas more or less in reverse order. But we're not, because over here, Chodesh is near the beginning of the list, Boina is near the end, because there's a certain similarity between them. We actually had back in the seventh Perek a statement of the Gemara that if a person makes a hole in the ground, for example, then it depends. If it was in the fields, he's chayav for Boina. Then again, he's chayav for Chodesh, rather, and if he does it in his house, then he's chayav for Boina. So there's a certain similarity between them. Both of them can involve making holes in the ground, among other things. Also, both of them are kol shehu, so therefore the Mishnah puts them together. So a Chodesh kol shehu, a person plows, and then he's chayav for even a tiny amount, as we'll see in the Gemara what you would use a tiny amount of plowing for. Also a menakish, also a person who pulls out weeds, b'ham a karsim, or he pulls off, or he cuts off whatever dry branches from a tree, b'ham a zarid, or he cuts off fresh branches. So that, why would you cut off the fresh branches? Rashi explains, sometimes you have one year an excessive number of branches start growing on the tree, and therefore, like, the tree is putting too much effort, so to speak, into making branches rather than fruit or a trunk or whatever, and therefore you cut off those extra branches. So all those things, kosher, if any of those things, kosher, then he's chayev, because either some of those amount to chodesh, and some of those can be zereya because they promote the growth of the plant. In fact, the Rambam actually learns some of these things a little bit differently. He says makarsim, and makarsim he learns means like pulling out grasses or whatever that are growing in the ground. In which case, he learns menakish is like hoeing around, like digging up the dirt around the bottom of a grapevine or something in order to make the soil to get air into the soil and improve the soil. And the karsim, he says, would be pulling out grasses. So in that case, both of those things are meant to improve the soil, and therefore they're told us of chodesh. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Hamalakit Eitzim. If a person collects wood on Shabbos, so now either this is a Makosha Eitzim of this week's parasha, but it depends. Do we mean Hamalakit as in he's pulling them off the tree, or do we mean Malakit as in he's collecting them from the ground? Different ways of explaining it. Anyway, in Lasakin, if he's doing it in order to improve the tree or the ground, Kol Shehem, then he's chayav for Kol Shehem like we just did. In Lahesik, if he's doing it for the sake of he wants firewood, then Kedei Lavashal Beitzakala, then the amount would be, as we've learned previously in the Masechta, that if there's enough of it in order to be able to, that where he'd be able to cook, and where be able to, there'd be enough firewood to cook an easy egg, which we said was a chicken egg, which is the easiest one to cook, then he'd be chayev. Similarly, Hamalakik Asavim, similarly, if a person is collecting grass on Shabbos, Im Lasakin Kol Shehu, again, if he's doing it in order to improve the soil, then he would be chayev for Kol Shehu. Im Lebehema, if he's doing it in order to feed to an animal, Kimloi Piagdi, then the amount he'd be chayev for would be the amount that would fill up the mouth of a goat, because a goat is the smallest creature that you feed grass to, and therefore that would be the shear to be chayev. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Lamai Chozim. When we say that if a person does harisha, a person does plowing, any amount that he's chayev, what would a tiny amount of plowing be useful for? The answer is chazir the bizra dekara. You could use it to plant one single pumpkin seed. Now, Rashi explains like this. We learned before when it comes to carrying on Shabbos that a person is chayev for carrying only if he carries two pumpkin seeds or more. So why are we here being chayev him for making a hole for one? So Rashi explains, because when you're taking out seeds, you're not going to bother taking out only one seed. You might as well you're wait until you have two seeds and then you'll take them out together. But after all, when you're making holes for them in the ground, you make each hole individually. Therefore, you're going to be chayev individually. Therefore, you'd be chayev individually for each hole. Again, we have to find what was the parallel to that in the Mishkan, where we find that making one hole was enough to be was considered a malacha. Shekhen roi lekelachah shal sammanim. Same idea. You could use it to plant one stalk, one plant that's going to be used for dyes. Again, they had to plant many plants for dyes because they needed a lot of dye, they need a lot of these various kinds of dyes. Tolas shani, for example, comes from a worm that grows on a certain kind of plant. But the fact is, each one is planted individually, and therefore it's counted as malacha.
And it's important that if they have one stalk, they would be able to dye a shear with what you make from a stalk, or is that not?
No, the two things have nothing to do with each other. But anyway, we learned yesterday in Anius Makamashira, so it wasn't like they would only make enough dye from one plant at a time. But
when they say pumpkin, that's the biggest thing that you can get out of one hole.
Right.
Maybe there was some kind of a shear.
Maybe, but not, apparently not. Mind you, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Jewish people themselves in the Midbar planted these plants that they're going to use for the dyes. I mean, maybe there's actually Midrashim that say that when the Jewish people were there, then the ground became fertile, and after all, their animals were able to eat over there. They had grass for their animals. You know, nowadays you wouldn't have any of that in the Sinai Desert. But so that's one possibility. But the other possibility is we don't mean they themselves planted. We talked about this before. Doesn't necessarily mean that they themselves planted it. It means they bought them ready-made from Goyish traders, or they took them out with them from the spoils of Mitzrayim, or whatever it is, and somebody had to plant it. So therefore, the fact that somebody had to plant it and harvest it and so forth, that therefore those were counted in office.
The peninsula there was always a desert?
As far as we know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because they say okay, that see. Other parts weren't a desert.
Could be.
All right,
let's go on.
Graves.
Could be. All right. Then we say, it's possible. I mean, we have, when Moshe has passed through Yisra's sheep already, it says, so you're right, there might have been parts of it that had grass even. Okay, anyway. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Menachish v'amakarsim v'amazarid, a person weeds or cuts off dry branches or fresh branches. So we say it's chayev for kolshehu. Tanan abanan. Atolash ulshin, if a person pulls ulshin out of, ulshin or endives, they're kind of vegetable, out of the ground, v'amezared zrodim, or if he cuts off zrodim. Now, zrodim are different than the mezared of our Mishnah. The mezared of our Mishnah just meant that he cuts off fresh branches from any kind of tree. The zrodim we're talking about over here is a specific kind of bush or tree or something. Rashi explains that when they're soft, when they're newly grown, then they're actually edible. As they mature, then they become harder, and then you can't eat them anymore, but animals can eat them. And eventually, when they completely dry out, then use them for firewood. So imlach, and the same thing with endives. When they're fresh, you're able to eat them, and then as they mature, then they're only edible for animals and eventually only for firewood. So imlach, if the person is picking them for eating, then the shear would be kigrigeres, like with all other things with food on Shabbos. If he's doing it in order to feed an animal, then the amount would be, if it's enough to fill up a goat's mouth, like we said in the Mishnah. And if he's doing it in order to make, you know, for firewood, because it's completely dry, then it would be only if it's enough in order to cook an easy egg. Now, so Tosfos stresses, we don't mean that, for example, he's picking them when they're fresh, but he's intending to keep them around until they're dry. Then he would still be chayav for the smaller shear of gregaris. Because the fact is, right now, they are edible. What we mean is, if he's picking them when they're already dry, and they're not edible by people or by animals, then he's chayav only if there's enough to cook it in.
When they think we're going to put the egg in the shell on the fire.
So actually, we learned previously what it means is that you crack the egg, you crack the egg, you take a gregaris of the egg, not the whole egg, you mix it with oil, and you put it in a pot. And some of the Rishonim also learned the pot is preheated with this wood or whatever, and you see if the egg is able to cook. And because a preheated pot will cook faster. And if it does, then that's the shit.
It's preheated with the
So you preheat it with from this wood or whatever. Yeah.
From this wood.
A Gurgaris, is less than a baker?
It's the size of a dried fig.
A Gurgaris is smaller than a baker? Smaller than an egg?
A Gurgaris is smaller than a kibetza, yeah. So the Gemara had previously mentioned, given that all the malachas of Shabbos that have to do with food, whenever you have a malacha involving food, the shear of human food, the shear is always a Gurgaris, then over here, the Gemara had asked, the kibetza is bigger than a Gurgaris, the Gemara asked previously about that, and the answer is that it means a Gurgaris from a Beitza Chala. It's on. The choice is an offer to turn it on. No. Okay.
Yeah. The volume is up.
Yeah, the volume is up, yeah. All right. Yeah, no, I can barely hear him either. All right. Onward. So continues the Braisa. Imlud Yathas is a karka kolshehen. And if the person is picking these endives or these branches or whatever, these soft branches or whatever, in order to improve the ground, then he's chayav for kolshehen. So when I ask, alter kulul of Yathas is a karka ninu. Okay, I mean, with all these things, even if he's picking them in order to eat them or in order to feed them to an animal or whatever, he's also being the Yathas a karka at the same time. So why is he not chayav for kolshehu to begin with? Now, why is the question not on our Mishnah? So the Tosfos Reb explains like this. In the Mishnah, you had first it mentioned, it mentioned that he's chayav for any of these things, kol shehu, and then it mentioned the various things where he might be picking it for firewood or to feed to an animal or whatever. So you could say the Mishnah means he's always chayav for kol shehu on the grounds of Kodesh. In addition, he may also be chayav for another malacha as well if there's enough to feed an animal or to use for firewood or what have you. But the Braisa, which says it the other way around, first it mentions that there's a shear, that there's a minimum shear, and only at the end it mentions the yapas, the karka, so the implication is that sometimes he can't be chayev unless it was more than kol shehu. So why not? So the answer is Rabbah Rav Yosef Dami Tavayo Ba'agam Shonu. The Braisa is talking about where it's in a meadow, you don't need to improve the ground. It's already as good as it's going to be, basically. As opposed to, Tosfos says, the Mishnah would be talking about, let's say, a dry tree, so you're not being misak in anything. Abaya Omar Afilo Tema Basada, the Lava Agam. Abaya says you don't even need that. Could be talking about a regular field where it's not a meadow, but going to learn a cabin. The case would be, though, that he's not having kavana to improve the ground. He's only having kavana to pick it for food or animal food or what have you. The problem with that is, didn't we already say a few times that even Rav Shimon, who allows by Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, still is Moida if it's, not Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, rather, about Dabar Shein Meskaven, where you're doing one thing and by mistake something else gets done, for example, dragging a bench and digging up the ground, where he says that if it's psikresha, he agrees that if it's psikresha, it's also. Here it's psikresha that inevitably in a field you're improving the soil. The answer is, yes, but the case we're talking about over here is he's doing it in somebody else's field. So therefore, so now, what does that mean if he's doing it in somebody else's field? So Rashi just says it means he doesn't care to improve it. Tosfos mentions an interesting point. Now, we usually think of the Oruch, we look at the Rishon, the Oruch, from Nassim Bala Oruch, where he wrote a nice dictionary for the Gemara. When we have a hard word in the Gemara, which we don't understand what it means, then we look in the Oruch and we get an explanation. Really, actually, the Oruch is a whole Pirush on the Gemara. It's just written in alphabetical order instead of in the order of the Gemara, like most Pirushim. What it is, so he mentions in this connection, he doesn't just explain, in this case, he mentions, he explains the halacha that this is something called psik resha de la nichale. It is psik resha. It is inevitable that he's improving the soil. However, lo nichale, he doesn't want it. He doesn't really care about that improvement. In fact, he doesn't even want it. He wouldn't. Let's say it's somebody else's field. He doesn't even like the guy. So he doesn't even want to do him the favor of improving his soil. So that would be called, what's he doing there? Because, yeah, let's say, for example, it's during a time when, for example, it could be doing Shmita when everything is Hefker. It could be that he knows that the other guy doesn't care about these things that are growing there, whatever, but let's say. Anyway, so therefore, the Oruch learns that in that case, you would actually be, when we say that Psik Reisha is also, but not if it's Psik Reisha, the Oinichale. Tosfos disagrees with that and says that no, that's not, you can't say just because lo nichalei tribi mutter. Rather, the reason why it's mutter over here is rather on the grounds of not mutter. The difference is, according to the Aruch, it would actually be mutter in a case like that, but according to Tosfos, it's not that. It's rather it's malacha she'en etzricha l'gufa. So fine, it's still also to do. You're still not allowed to do a malacha where you're doing it for another purpose. You're just not going to be chayev in Hilchos Shabbos to bring a chatas or stila or what have you for it. So that would be the case then, because it's in somebody else's land. So it's not a matter of that he should be mutter to do it, but it's a matter of that he's not going to be chayev chatas for it. Okay. This general concept of sikreish v'lo nichalei is a big thing among the poskim. Ever since the Aruch, who first brought up the point, you have different rishonim and achronim talk about all the different the ins and outs of it. When do we ever say that? When do we say it, etc. All right. Now we're going to go on to the next malacha hakosei. This is now we're still going back more or less in reverse order. Before habone v'hasosei, the next one before that is. Hakosev shtei osius, v'amocha kamanas lichtav shtei osius. Person writes two letters, person erases in order to write two letters over there. So now, the next couple of Mishnayos till the end of the parak are going to be dealing with that malacha. So the Mishnah says, Hakosev shtei osius, a person writes two letters, ben b'yeminoi ben b'smoloi, whether he's writing with his right hand or his left hand, ben, and we'll see in the Gemara why should he be chayiv if he's writing with his left hand, it's kalachayad, ben b'shem echad, whether it's the same letter twice. For example, Rashi says two alephs, which we're going to see in the Gemara. It's not so simple that a person is chayev for two alephs because two alephs do not spell out a word. It would be different if it was two letters that actually, two of the same letter that actually spell out the same word. For example, gag.
E-F-Shar.
Well, that's an abbreviation. That's an abbreviation, though. That's Tosfos talks on Omid Beis that we're going to have at the end of the parak. We're not at the end of the parak. We're going to have tomorrow, Bes Hashem, on Kuf Dalet Omid Beis, Machlokas, in the Mishnah, if a person writes a letter as Nitzrichon, that he writes a letter as an abbreviation. It's an abbreviation for a whole word. Is writing one letter of that enough to be Mechayim? And the Chum say no, and the Halacha is like that. So Tosfos says the same thing over here. He's writing two Alephs as an abbreviation, you can't be Mechayim for that. But we'll see in the Gemara. We're going to have several different opinions on the subject. Anyway, so Ben Mishem Echad, whether he's writing two of the same letter, Ben Mishtei Shemes, or whether he's writing two different letters, for example, an Aleph and a Beis, Ben Mishtei Samonios, or even he writes them using two different materials, two different inks. For example, Rashi says one of them with regular ink, which is black, and another one with Sikra, which is a kind of red ink. Or there's a different gear set that somebody's showing him have, not Samonios, but Simonios, meaning letters or symbols that letters or things that are used as symbols. For example, if he writes, let's say, an aleph and a beis, not to represent those letters, but rather to represent the numbers 1 and 2. Or let's say he writes the actual numbers, the Arabic numbers, the Arabic numerals like we use nowadays, 1 and 2. That would also be enough to be Mechayim. B'chol Loshen, in any language, chayev, then he's chayev. There isn't, meaning any script, any known script that's used by any language in the world. There is actually an interesting thing. The Urzarua wants to say that when you say B'chol Loshen, it doesn't literally mean every language. He wants to say that on a Daraisa level, the only ones you'd be chayev for writing on Shabbos would be Hebrew letters and Greek letters. The same way as we find as far as writing Kisvei Kodesh, that Greek has a special status. As the Gemara, as it talks about in the Sefer Megillah, so the same way he says over here. And then Amma actually brings it, and then Amma mentions, for example, that all the other ones that Uzzarua says would only be Dirabam. So now you have an interesting halacha, which is that if you're buying property in Eretz Yisrael from a goy, then you're allowed to have a goy write, then in certain cases, you're allowed to have the goy write and sign the document, even on Shabbos, because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Don't tell this to any Satma friends, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that Amma brings over there, based on this Urzarua, if you're writing the document in any other language other than Hebrew or Greek, then you would actually be allowed to tell the goy outright to write it and sign it, because then it would only be a shvus of a shvus, because to write in other languages is only Dirabanan itself, and to tell a goy is also Dirabanan. However, many Achronim disagree with that, including the Magen Avraham, and including the Altadeta. It says there's no difference between different kinds of scripts. All of them are also Daraisa, and therefore you can't tell a goy outright to write in any of them. You would have to hint. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yosi, loichivu shtei oisiyas elamishum roshim. Rav Yosi says, you should know, when we say that you hire for writing two letters, that's only really what you hire for is making marks. Meaning, in other words, Rav Yosi is saying, even if you didn't actually write letters, even if you just made marks, like scribbles or a line or whatever, which doesn't represent any kind of letter, that would still be enough. Two of those would still be enough to be mechayim. Shekach posts for our parsha on Mishkan. He says, this is what they did on the kroshim of the Mishkan. Leida ezer ben zuga, to know which one goes where, because each keresh is supposed to go in a certain spot. So therefore, so they would make markings on them, rather than necessarily letters, in order to show what goes where. And therefore, he says two markings is enough to be mechayivim as well. Okay. Oh, we'll discuss that in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Masinu Shem Katan Mishem Gadol. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have sometimes a smaller name that's within a larger name. So let's say a person intended to write a longer name, but he only wrote two letters of the name, that would be enough to be mechayivim if it makes a word or if it makes a word or a name all by itself. For example, Shem Mishimon or Mishmuel, he intended to write the name Shimon or Shmuel, and all he wrote is the Shin and the Mem. Now, you're going to ask the Shin, the Mem of Shmuel and Shimon is an open Mem, is a Mem of the middle of the word, and the Mem, the Shin Mem by itself to make a word would have to be a Shloss Mem. That we're going to deal with in the Gemara at the bottom of the next number. Another example, Noyach mi Nocher, Don mi Donio, God mi Gadiel. All those are examples. So let's say you were in this week's parish, you have one of the Meragmans, Gadiel ben Soidi. So if you're intending to write the word Gadiel and you only wrote Gimel Dalet, Rabbi Yehuda says that would be enough to be Mechayim. Because Gimel Dalet, God by itself, is already a name. Okay, so Gemara asks, Bishlema Ayamin Lechayim. I can understand why a person is Chayim if he writes using his right hand. Mishum Derech Suvachach. Sure, that's a normal way of writing. El asmoil amai, but why is he chayev for writing with his left hand? Ha ein derech ksiv v'kach, that's not the normal way of writing. So it should be kala'ach ha'yad. The answer is, omer Rabbi Yirmiyah v'itir yad shonim. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiyah says we're talking about a left hand. So the question is, in that case, why is he chayev for his right hand? V'tev is smil didei kiyim into kala'ama. So then we should consider his left hand is the equivalent of anybody else's right hand. V'asmoil l'chayev, ayim imoil l'chayev. So he should only be chayev for writing with his left hand, because that's his normal way, and not with his right hand, because that's not his normal way. Ela, Omer Abaye, b'sher that b'shtei yadav. So Abaye says, okay, we're talking about somebody who's ambidextrous. Now, it doesn't have to mean that he's completely ambidextrous, then there's really no chiddush in it, but we mean, even if, for example, the Ritva, I think, says that even if he does most of his writing with his right hand, but he's also capable of writing well enough sometimes with his left hand, then that's enough to be mechayev and for either one. Okay. Rav Yaakov, brother of Yaakov, Omer, Rav Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov, says, why do we call him by his grandfather's name? So Rashi elsewhere mentions that his father was not an Adam Hogun. His father was not a decent person, and therefore we didn't want to call him by his father's name. Alberach, like you have that nowadays. A person is called up to the Torah. If his father was a well-known Rasha or a Meshumad or something, then you do the same thing. You call him by his grandfather's name. Anyway, so here it was the same thing. Omar, so he says a different answer. Homani Rav Yosi. Actually, you don't have to say you're talking about somebody ambidextrous. You're talking about our Mishnah that says that he's chayav for writing with his left hand would be according to Rav Yosi. He says that the whole reason you chayav is really not so much on the ground of writing letters, but on the ground of making marks that mean something. So the same thing over here. If you're writing with your left hand, okay, it doesn't come out very clearly, but it's still no worse than a roshim. So the question is, Muhammad is safer of Yosi, he reisha lab Rav Yosi. Okay, but the safer of Yosi mentions that idea of Shtei Osius is on the grounds of Roshan, implying that the reisha, implying the beginning of the Mishnah, is not according to Rav Yosi. So how are you telling me that when it says that he writes with his left hand, he's chayev, would be according to Rav Yosi? The answer is kula Rav Yosi. The answer is that you could say the whole Mishnah is according to Rav Yosi. Sometimes you have that. There's a few places in Shas where it does that. You have a Tana mentioned later in the Mishnah, and the Gemara will explain that means the whole Mishnah is according to him. Rashi even explains in one place, in Chulin, where you have such a thing, that what it means is the Tana originally forgot to mention, that the Tana who composed the Mishnah forgot to mention who the Tana is who holds this opinion. Later on, he remembered, so he put it in, because Kala Yudav Yudav Hashem Omri, maybe go a lot of them. But and the rule is Mishnah Lezazim and Kaima. Once you have a Mishnah formulated in a certain way, then it stays that way even though they could have changed it. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Omer Rav Yehuda Matsinu. Rav Yehuda says we find that sometimes you can be writing a longer name and you have a smaller name in it, like Shem from Shimon and Shmuel. So the question is, Elo Rav Yehuda, Shnei Oisiyas Vehen Shnei Shemes Ulimachayim. So what does that mean? Rav Yehuda is Machayim you only if they are two different letters. For example, Shin and Mem, or Dalet and Nun, or whatever. Shnei Oisiyas Vehen Shemes Ulimachayim Machayim. Are you telling me that Rav Yehuda would say if you wrote the same letter twice, you're not Chayim? Even though that could also be part of a larger word. For example, Rashi gives an example. Let's say you have in a couple of places in Sefer Yirmiyah, you have a reference to Sheshach, which is actually Bavel in Akbash. Tomorrow in the Gemara, Beis Hashem, we're going to talk about Akbash, and Bavel in Akbash, the bases become shins, the lamed becomes a chaf, so in a couple of places, he refers to Bavel as Sheshach. Why? So suppose, because maybe, I don't know why he refers to that, I don't know. Yes, you could code, basically, I don't know. But so whatever it is, anyway, the point is, so let's say a person is intending to write the word Sheshach, and he writes Shin, he doesn't finish up the word, would Rav Yehuda say he's not Chayav? Although, if Rav Yehuda would hold his Chayav for that, why didn't he use that example in the Mishnah? Why did he use all examples where the first two letters are different? V'hotanya, we learn in a Braisa that Rav Yehuda doesn't hold like that. The Braisa starts out like this. The Pasuk is V'osa Achas. The Pasuk says, if a person does one of the Averas, then he has to bring a Chavis. So when he says he does one, Yachol HaChiyuch to Kol HaShem, maybe he's only Chayav and he writes the entire name that he intended to, V'adshiyeru Kol HaBeged, or if it's weaving, then he's only Chayav if he weaves the entire garment, V'adshiyasa Kol HaNofa, or if he makes the entire sieve. So maybe only then is he chayev. Talmud Lema may achas. The pasuk doesn't just say va'osa achas. It says va'osa may achas mehena. May achas means sum of one. So even if he does some of the malacha, that's enough to be mechayev. Okay. Yochel afilu le'kosev ela ois achas v'le orag ela chut echad v'le osa ela bais echad benafa. Okay. In that case, then maybe even if he only writes one letter or weaves one thread in the garment or makes one bias in the nafa. So Rashi describes that the nafa is like this. You set up, you're making a nafa, you're making a sieve, you do like this. You set up a bunch of reeds or whatever it is that are going to be the shesi threads of your sieve. The first thing you do is you take two other threads and you braid them in and out, back and forth. You braid them in, back and forth through the vertical ones that you have. That helps hold them in place. If you only did one of them, it wouldn't be enough to hold them in place because it will just fall apart. Then it won't be malach in miskayemis. But if you weave them, they're crossing back and forth, under and over the vertical ones, then it'll hold them in place. So you would think maybe if we're saying may achas, maybe if he only did one of those two things, but even though it's not going to be a skayim, nevertheless he'd be chayev. No, Talmud Lema achas, no, because after all, the pasuk does say achas, so it has to be one complete malacha. Okay, so how do we reconcile? How do we reconcile it? So that's what we're saying. Ein chayev ad shiyichdim shem katan v'shem gadol. So for example, when it comes to writing, it would have to be that if he writes a small word that is part of a larger word, shem v'shem and v'shmul, noyach minocher, don v'daniel, god v'gadil. In other words, therefore, and the same thing with the other malachas. When it comes to weaving, for example, when is he chayev if he wove two threads, not just one? With another, when is he chayev if he does both of the crossing over threads to hold things in place, not just the one? Okay, that's one opinion. Then the Braisa continues, Rav Yehuda Omer, afilu le'kosev ela shtei osiyas vein shem echad chayev. Rav Yehuda says, even if he only wrote two letters and they make up one word, then that would be enough to be mechayevim. Could go in sheish, teis, rar, gag, choch. Those are all examples of words in Tanakh where you have the same letter repeated and it constitutes a word of its own. By the way, you have the question, is a person chayev, let's say, for example, so the Gemara is going to talk about soon, let's say, for example, aleph does not constitute a word by itself, is not enough to be mechayev him, that we're going to be discussing that point soon. Okay. Amr Rav Yossi, so then Rav Yossi says, the chimishum, a third opinion, the chimishum kosev hu chayev, so what are you telling me, is he chayev on the grounds of writing? After all, the whole chiyuv is not really so much the writing, it's the marking, the fact that you're making a useful mark. Shekhen rosh min al kashi ha mishkan, because that's what they would do, they'd make markings on the krushim of the mishkan, leida ezer ben zugoi, to know which one goes together with this cord. Lefichach, therefore, Yeshi says, sora srita achas al shnei nesorin, therefore, let's say a person makes one scrape on two boards, where the idea is he puts the two boards next to each other, he makes one scrape across them, and later on he can line up the two boards and line up so that the scrape makes one continuous thing, and then he'll know where it's supposed to be. You can imagine, for example, let's say, so he has two boards over here, he makes a scrape, let's say, like that, a slash across the two of them like that, and later on, the boards may get separated in transit, but later on he'll be able to put them together and then see which ones make up the ink. So.
And he makes it with the ink.
Doesn't matter, actually. Maybe Pashas, if he also, but also Switza could also mean, let's say, he just does it with a knife or something. Or he makes two marks like that on one board, then Chayim. So then Rabbi Yossi would say he's also Chayim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, then Rabbi Shimon says in the Braisa, the Pasuk says, V'osa achas. Again, let's go back to that Pasuk that says, V'osa me achas mehena. If it only said achas, Yochol ad shiichtev is kol Hashem, maybe you would only be Chayim if he writes the entire name. Now, it sounds like he's saying so far the same thing with the Tanakhama. So the Gemara is going to ask, what is he adding? Ad sheyerig kol habeged, or until he weaves the whole garment, only then is he chayiv. Ad sheyases kol hanafa, until he makes the whole sieve. No, tamad lema me'achas, therefore the pasuk says me'achas, that he's chayiv for only part of the malacha. E me'achas, again, if it only said me'achas, yachol, afilo le'kosev al oisachas, afilo le'orag al chotechad, afilo also al bayisachad benafa, maybe he'd be chayiv even if he only wrote one letter, or wove one row in cloth, or made one of those two things that go in and out by the nafa to hold it in place. No, tamadlema me'achas, tamadlema achas. No, but the pasuk says achas, implying that it has to be a complete malacha, something that would be miskayim, something, again, it doesn't have to be, obviously. So Rashi explains, you know, for example, when a person is weaving, a person doesn't necessarily weave a whole garment on one day. A person doesn't write a whole sefer Torah or whatever in one day. But there comes a point when the person says, okay, I did enough now, so at least it has some kind of importance, some kind of permanence. Let's say with the nafa, okay, I made the two weaving in and out thing. Good, now it'll hold. Now I'll get back to it tomorrow. So that would be enough to be mechayev. So Hawkeye said, ain't a chayev. Ad sheyaseh malacha shekeitz v'miskayemes. So he's only chayev if he does malacha that would last. Where the person, in other words, would keep it around for that purpose. Now, again, it sounds like Rabbi Shimon, rather, is saying the same thing as the Tanakhama. So we're going to go and analyze the Braisa. We're going to go and analyze the Braisa and see what's going on over here. Anyway, the point is, before we get to that, and then the Braisa continues. Rabbi Yossi Omer, v'osa achas v'osa hena. Rabbi Yossi says, now you have one pasuk that says v'osa achas, if he does one, and you have, on the other hand, you have v'osa hena, and he does, the actual pasuk is v'osa mei achas mei hena. So achas implies one, hena means plural, so it means a lot of malachas. So what does that mean? So Rabbi Yossi says, pa'omim shechayev achas akulon, sometimes the person is going to be chayev one chatas for all the things he did, for all of the chibul Shabbos, for example, that he did, or pa'omim shechayev akal achas v'achas, sometimes he's going to be chayev individually for each one. As we'll see soon what that means, whether it'll go back to something that we learned in the seventh parak about when we say that he's chayev one chatas for all the malachas he did on Shabbos versus when is he chayev individual chatas. Okay. So the point is, katonimia. Now the point is, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilo lekosev al shtei osias vein shem echad, that even if he wrote two letters, the same, two of the same letter, the pashto, and he gave examples in the Braisa. For example, he wrote the word sheish. So that would be enough to be Mechayev. So he's Chayev even, and again, it could be that he meant to write a longer name. He meant to write a longer name or a longer word, like Sheshach, or another example Rashi gives is Shesh Batzar, which is a name mentioned in Sefer Ezra. The Medrash says that's another name. The Medrash says it's another name for Daniel, because Shesh Batzar, he lived through six tzaras. Anyway. So other Mephoshim explain that's a Persian name or a Persian title or whatever. Anyway, the point is that, Rabbi Yehuda here in the Braisa is saying that even if the two letters were the same, he's chayev. Whereas in the Mishnah, he doubts the picked examples where they're different letters, a shin and a mem, or a dalet and a nun, or what have you. So what is it? What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? The answer is, like Kasha Hodi Dei Hodirabe. There's a difference between what Rabbi Yehuda himself holds versus what his Rebbe holds. The Tanya, as we learn in another Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meshum Ram Gamliel, Afrimo Le Kosev, El Abeiz Osius, Ven Shemechon Chayev, Gun Sheish Teis Ro Gagcho. So what it is in our Mishnah, we have Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion. he himself, this, so he learned from Rav Gamliel that even if it was two of the same letter, he's going to be chayav. And that's what he mentions in the Braisa. In the Mishnah, though, we have Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, where Rabbi Yehuda says no. If you write two of the same letter, then you're not chayav, even though it could have been, even though it's a meaningful word on its own, you're only chayav was two different letters, like shin and meh, or whatever. Okay. So now the question, so that takes care of Rabbi Yehuda, so now we understand there's no contradiction. There's Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion in the Mishnah, and there's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the name of Rabbi Gamliel and the Braisa. Okay. Now the question is, Rabbi Shimon Hainu Tanakama, isn't Rabbi Shimon saying the same thing as the Tanakama, that you're not chayv if you write only one letter, but you also can't wait for him to be chayv until he writes the entire word? That's exactly the same thing as the Tanakama said. But it says on the one hand, it says achas, but it says meyachas. So, v'chi tema aleph da'azrecha ikabinayu. So you're going to say, maybe the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon would be about what if you write two alephs intending to write the word a'azrecha, which is a pasuk, it's a word from a pasuk in Yeshaya. So let's say a person writes that. The Tanakama sava aleph da'azrecha loy mechayev. So the Tanakama will say you're not going to be chayev for that, because aleph by itself is not a meaningful word. As opposed to, for example, again, if you wrote shin, let's say, that is a meaningful word of its own, sheish, and also it's part of a larger word, like sheishach, as opposed to aleph is only part of a larger word and not a word by itself. So maybe therefore we would say to Tanakama sava aleph da'azrecha loy mechayev. So the Tanakama would say that he's not chayav because it can't be considered any part of the malacha, since it doesn't mean anything by itself. But if Shimon Sava, Kivin de Isib Galaturi Ba'alma Chayav, whereas Rav Shimon would say, yes, but you do sometimes find that an aleph is written in a kameya or any kind of thing that are written from a shapers or whatever. So you have Rashi points out that the Latin word for these things is kluturus, which is like the word galaturi of our Gemara over here. A lot of times they write in them words, combinations of letters that don't mean anything in any other context. Yeah, for example, you think of like the Shira Malison that are hung on doors after a woman gives birth. You have all these kinds of Kabbalistic formulas over there, not all of which make sense to us. Some of them, you know, Kabbalistic things, and you know, they're higher things that we don't always understand. So the same thing over here. Sometimes it's Kameas or other magical formulas or whatever, they'll write an aleph together. So this is what Tosfos mentions, what you were mentioning before, Aaron, about writing it as an abbreviation. Now, let's say you're writing it, for example, to abbreviate for Amen, Amen. Tosfos says that no, we're talking abbreviations is something else altogether. He was talking about that they write aleph, not as an abbreviation, but as an actual word in a command. Anyway, so you're going to say that Rav Shimon would say, therefore, Yechayev, because after all, it is Dovah Shemeskai, Shechayotzeb HaMeskayemes, because after all, people do write like that in Kameis. Can't be. The problem with that is, l'meimrajin of Shimon l'chumra, are you telling me that Rav Shimon in this kind of thing is machmir? V'hatanya, we learn in Braisa that we find with these kinds of malachas that Rav Shimon is makel. Hakedeach, the Braisa says, hakedeach kol shiru, if a person makes a little bit of a, if a person drills a little bit of a hole, then he's chayev. Meaning Rashi says, now usually you would drill all the way through. But here we're talking about even he drilled only part way through. But again, it's malacha shekayetzibam eskayemes, because you don't always need to drill all the way through. So he's chayev. Hamagara kol shehu. Also if a person smooths out a wooden pole or a piece of leather or whatever, which is a tolda of the malacha of memachet, smoothing out. Hamaabed kol shehu. Or a person tans leather kosher, not literally kosher, which Tosfos says it has a minimum shear. We learned previously that you have it has to be large enough to wrap a kameya in, or large enough to write the entire shema
yisrael. Tans it all the way, and it's a smaller piece.
So actually, not all the way, because we learned previously on that fine test that there are different stages in tanning. Yeah. There's a stage where you tan it where it's good enough to be able to wrap a kameya in.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a stage where you tan it to the point where you can write a get on it, and then there's a point where you tan it to the point where it's full-fledged parchment, and you can use it to write
Sefer
Torah Tefillin.
There's where you can only use it as coaster.
There's one where you can only use it, where you boiled it, and you use it only as a tablecloth or something, yeah. You have different kinds of things, but the point is, Tosfos says when it says kosher, who doesn't literally mean kosher, who, but it just means a smaller shear than Rav Shimon is going to say. Anyway, so on the avid kosher, hatzurbikli tzura kosher, or a person draws a design on a keli of any size, So in all those things, he's chayiv. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, no, actually yichdak es koloi. He's only chayiv if he drills all the way through the hole. Actually yigro es koloi, or unless he smooths out the whole thing. Actually abed es koloi, or unless he tans the whole thing. Actually yotz es koloi, or unless he makes the entire design. So we see that Reb Shimon is makel compared to the Tanakhama. And therefore, with Ksiva as well, we should assume that Reb Shimon is makel and says that if the Tanakhama is saying that you're chayev if the Tanakhama is going to say that you're potter for two of the same letter, for aleph, where it's not a word, then you can't say Reb Shimon is going to be machayev you. Ela Reb Shimon ha osa lashmin and actually yuchav as a shame kolay. So no, rather we have to say that Reb Shimon is telling us that Taka, the person, is only chayev if he writes the entire name. The entire word. So in other words, yes, if he intended to write the word Shimon, for example, according to Reb Shimon, he would only be chayiv if he wrote the entire name Shimon, not if he just wrote two letters of it. So the question is, what do you mean? Mi matzis amr tachi? How could you possibly say that? V'hatanya, Reb Shimon, I'm also achas, yochal achyichav as Hashem kuloi, Reb Shimon clearly says, you would think he's chayiv even if he writes the entire name. Tamad loymar me'achas, and therefore the pasuk says me'achas, that he's chayev for part of one. So we see that he's chayev for only part of the word. How can you say Reb Shimon is going to be mechayev him only if he wrote the entire word? The answer is tritzah emahachi. You correct the braisa and say as follows: Yochal achiyutav that pasuk koloi tamad loymar me'achas. Reb Shimon would be saying that you would think you're only chayev if you write the entire pasuk, and therefore me'achas teaches that you're chayev even if you only write one word. But Reb Shimon would say that you still have to write one word in order to be chayev, not so if you only wrote part of the word that you intended to write, then according to him, you'd still be potter. So we have various opinions over here. So we have the Reb Yehuda in our Mishnah, who is all, and also the Tanakhama of the Braisa, who says that he's chayev if it was two different letters, as long as they spell out a word. We had Reb Yehuda in the Braisa, which is actually, we're saying, quoting Reb Gamliel, who says he's chayev even if it was two of the same letter. We have Reb Yossi being even more machna and saying it doesn't even have to be letters, it can just be marks. And we have Reb Shimon saying the most nakel, who says he's only chayev if you write the entire word. Then we said in the Braisa, Reb Yossi omer va'asa achas va'asa hena. We said Reb Yossi says that since it says va'asa achas, which means one, but then it says va'asa hena, and he does these. So is he meaning that he should only be chayev? Meaning that he should be chayev from multiple chatois? So what is it? He said, "Pa'amim shechayev achas al kolon." Sometimes a person is chayev only one chatas for all the things he did. Pa'amim shechayev achal achas achas, and sometimes he's chayev individually for each one. Amr Reb Yosi Reb Chanina, my time is Reb Yosi. What is Reb Yosi saying? How does Reb Yosi learn that sometimes you bring one chatas and sometimes multiple ones? What are all the limudim? So like this, achas. May achas, hena, may hena. You have like this. The pasuk didn't even need to write the word, the pasuk didn't even need to write the word achas. The expression in the pasuk is v'asa achas mehena. So it didn't need to say achas at all, and not only it says achas, it says may achas. The same thing, it didn't need to say hena at all, not only it says hena, it says may hena. So we have four different things that we can learn out of it here, from the word achas, from the word hena, and from the extra mens. So therefore, Reb Yossi says like this. So first of all, you have like this, achas shehi hena, and you have, in addition, achas shehi hena, vehena shehi achas. Sometimes you have achas, a person does one malacha, shehi hena, which there are multiple chiyuvim in it, and sometimes vehena shehi achas. Sometimes you have hena, he does multiple things, shehi achas, where he's bringing only one achas. So what does that mean? Achas means Shimon. When we say achas, he's chayv, he writes the entire name Shimon. May achas from one means he writes only shem mi shimon. He writes only the letters shin mem. That's enough to be mechayev him as well. Hena obos. When it says hena, these means all the various obos malachos. May hena means told us. The mem of may hena means the ones that come from these, because the word mem, the prefix mem has a few different meanings. It means from, but from can mean part of, like we said, part of the name shimon is the name shem. But it can also mean something that comes out of it. So you have the toldus derived from the obvious. So therefore, the mem would be that he's chayev for the toldus as well. Achas shehena zodin shabbos v'shivus malachas. Then when you have what's achas shehena means where he knew that it was shabbos, but he was shaving about the malachas. That's what we're saying. He did one. He did That's what we're saying. What he's going to be doing, even though it was only one Chilul Shabbos, it's one Shabbos that he was breaking, but he's bringing a separate chatas for each malacha, as we learned in the seventh parak. And Heina Shehiachas, where do you have the other way around? Heina Shehiachas, where he does many different things, and he's chayav only one, would be the other way around. Shivas Shabbos was on malachas. He didn't know b'chlal that it was Shabbos, even though he knew each of these things is a malacha, but so even though he did many different actions, he's only bringing one chatas. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying, that you can douch in that, you can douch in all that from the achas and the heina and the men's. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Amar of Yehuda Matsinu Shem Kot Mishem Gadol. We said that you have an example where you have a smaller name that's part of a larger name, for example, Shem from Shimon and Shmuel. So the Masmi Dami, how is it comparable? Mem the Shem Stosim, Mem the Shimon Pasuach. If you write Shin Mem, intending to write the word Shimon, then you've written of Shin and a regular Mem, not a Shloss Mem. That's not a word by itself. A word by itself would be Shin and Shloss Mem. So how does that work? Amar of Chista, Zloy Semer, Stosim, Vasoy Pasuach Kosher. So Rav Chista says, from here we see actually, now when it comes to writing a Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzos, if you were to write a letter that was supposed to be a final letter, and instead you wrote a regular letter, it would actually be kosher. So if you were supposed to write Shin, if you were supposed to write the word Shem, or Shom, which is supposed to have a Shloss Mem, and instead you wrote it with a regular Mem, it would actually be the Sefer Torah, it would be kosher, says Rav Chista. So therefore we say, the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction. We learn in a Braise that the Apostle says, Uchsavtam, you should write them, means the word Uchsavtam means Shetehe Siva Tama, means the writing has to be whole. Which means, Shaloyichtes, it has to be careful not to make different letters, not to confuse different letters, or not to allow different letters to look like each other. Shaloyichtes, Einin, Alfin, Einin, Einin, Alfin. So, for example, you don't write, instead of an aleph, you write an ayin, or the other way around. Rashi says, the fact is, aleph and ayin have a similar pronunciation, so a sefer might mistakenly put one instead of the other. Don't do that. Other rishonim to say that's not what it means. Obviously, you can't put in a different letter than it's supposed to. It means that aleph, if the bottom part of the aleph is not properly attached, then the remainder of the letter, the diagonal line, and the yud on top of it, resembles a backwards ayin. So don't do that. You have to be careful that all the parts of the letter are together. Another point is also if you make the tail of the aleph too long, then also it looks kind of like an ayin turned on its side, because you have like that sort of. So don't do that. Basin, coffin, coffin, basin. The same way don't write with a base instead of a cup or vice versa. A base is supposed to have sharp. It's supposed to have sharp angles. A cup is supposed to be rounded. So don't confuse those. Gamin, sadin, sadin, gamin. Similarly, don't confuse a gimel and a tzadik. The point is, Rashi explains that a gimel basically looks like an upside-down line of tzadik. You think about it, you take a gimel and you flip it over, you have something resembling a line of tzadik. So you have, actually, the post can talk about various things that come out of this. It means, therefore, how do you avoid making them look similar? Make sure the top of the gimel is fat, so it doesn't look like the bottom of the, so it doesn't look like the bottom of the letter. Make sure that the leg of the gimel that sticks out is also fat, so it doesn't resemble the top of a tzaddik. Make sure that it's only slightly angled down, not sharply angled down, so it doesn't look like the two branches of a line of tzaddik, etc. And by the way, I mean, you would argue, and so it's upside down, who cares? But you actually find in some places in the Torah where there are old Masodas that there are letters that are supposed to be upside down. You have, for example, you have the backwards nuns and baloska, fine. But besides that, also, for example, I'm talking about, there you have those are not part of the actual text of the Torah. I mean, those are there like as marks. But you have, for example, at the end of Parashas Noach, Vayomos Terach B'choron, Rashi says, Nun Hafucha, the line in Nun is supposed to be upside down. And in some ancient Sefer Torah, you can actually find it that way. So sometimes you could actually have letters that are supposed to be upside down. And therefore, you have to be careful that even if the letter, because of a Masoda, is supposed to be written upside down, it shouldn't resemble a different letter. That's the point. Continuing, Dalit, Dalsin, Reishin, Reishin, Dalsin. A Dalit shouldn't look like a Reish shouldn't look like a Dalit. Heyin, Chesin, Chesin, Heyin. Bobin, Yudin, Yudin, Bobin. Zainin, Nunin, meaning a Langen Nun, because a Langen Nun is written like a Zion with a longer vertical part. Nunin, Zainin. tested, papin, papin, tessin. Don't allow a test to look like a pay or the other way around. Meaning that now the test has a thing that goes in, right? You have the, you think of the one side of the test has a part that goes in. And in fact, Tosfos says, you see that it actually has to go in and can't just be rounded on the top. It actually has to go in a little bit so it slightly resembles a pay. Be careful you don't completely allow it to resemble a pay. For example, by having that, for example, by having these two parts separated so then it looks like a pay and a zion next to each other. Or another point they also say is make sure it's not all the way down in, or make sure it's not curled in or whatever, because all those things, it'll look more like a pay, and vice versa. Kufin, pshutin, pshutin, kufin, where there's supposed to be a regular letter, don't put, where there's supposed to be an end letter, rather, kufin, where there's supposed to be a bent letter, for example, a bent chof, a regular chof, there shouldn't be pshutin, there shouldn't be a line of chof there in the middle of the word. Shutin kufin, or the other way around, where there's supposed to be a posher, like a line of chaf, there shouldn't be a regular chaf. Memin samchin, samchin memin, a samach and a mem have to be, you know, the shloss mem, that is, have to be distinct. The shloss mem is squared off on the bottom, the samach is rounded on all sides. And stumin, stumin, psuchin, psuchin, stumin, don't put instead of a shloss mem an open mem, or instead of an open mem a shloss mem. Parsha psucha loya stena stuma, where there's supposed to be a parsha psucha, don't make a parsha stuma. Stuma lo yasen psucha. Also, kosva kishira. If you write the rest of it, if you write on a different part of the Torah, like the shira sayam, the shira sazinu, where you have spaces in the middle, oisha kosva sashira kayetiba, or you write the shira's normal way without the proper spaces, oisha kosva shaloi vidyoi, or the person writes the sefer Torah not with ink, not with black ink, but rather with some other color. Oisha kosva sashtaris vizahav, or if you write the names of Hashem using gold ink. In all those cases, in all those cases, it has to be put away in Seamus because it's possible. Okay, some of these cases you could correct, but the point is, in other words, that, when we mention, so the question is, in other words, so how is your priest saying that it's okay to write a regular mem instead of a schloss mem when we see from this braisa not like that? You see from this braisa that if you interchange them, it's possible. Why are we mentioning, by the way, the Azkara is written in gold? So there's two explanations the Beis Yosef says. One of them is it means you would think maybe for the honor of Hashem you're allowed to write them in gold. I know, the point is even that you're not allowed to. Another explanation is, let's say you wrote them with ink and afterwards you covered the ink with gold leaf. If it was other letters in the Sefer Torah, no problem. You could erase them and rewrite it. But with Hashem's name, you can't do that. Because you can't erase Hashem's name, so therefore you'd have a problem. Okay. So that's the question, and we'll continue with the answer tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and get into some very interesting agadah about the order of the Aleph days and the significance of that order. Okay. Shabbat, everyone. If there are no questions.